When an organization plans for change, a key part of the strategy might be to develop the right business case. This lays out the architecture of a project and is an essential step in successfully securing funding. I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net, and this podcast features a conversation with Dariush Bebudi, Managing Director, Infrastructure Solutions at Bearing Point. I started by asking Dariush why I'd need to develop a business case.
So the development of business case is usually part of the strategy engagement where a company wants to either introduce a new technology, change a process, or get into a new line of business. And they will engage Bearing Point to assist them in developing the strategy for that, the architecture for the project. And to get approval to go forward with the implementation of the project, one of the steps is the development of the business case.
The reasons that I want a business case for a particular project, it is basically to request and then secure funding. That is my goal.
Yes.
Okay, and so I've determined that that's what I want to do. I want to seek this out. And I turn to you. What are the main topics that you would be including in a business case for me?
So the main topics included in the business case is, of course, you know, the project description and a project scope. And then the reasons for undertaking the project. What is the problem statement? What is the problem that the project is trying to address? And then what are the improvements in productivity, technical support, and information process management that this project will result in? And of course, then the funding question, the economic feasibility. So this is the cost and this is the benefits of the project. And as part of that, we also look at the various alternatives. At a minimum, the do-nothing alternative should be considered, whereby if we don't do the project, what will happen? So in this way, we can highlight the benefits of the project more clearly. And then lastly, is a project risk analysis. So what are the risks entailed in the project, and also a high-level roadmap, how we will implement the project.
So part of that, as you say, is the cost-benefit analysis. What are the main elements of that?
So the main elements of the cost-benefit analysis on the cost side is various elements such as equipment costs, facilities costs, telecom costs, training costs, salaries, consulting services that are needed to implement the project. And then there is the ongoing cost of the project, such as maintenance costs, upgrades, telecommunication costs, user support costs. And the third portion is the indirect cost, which is usually the contingencies that you put in if things doesn't go per plan. That's on the cost side. Then on the benefit side, there are two kinds of benefits, tangible and intangible. If you look at tangible benefits, we have the direct reduction or changes in expenses. So, for example, a system may replace an older system, so the costs associated with the older system are going to go away, and that's a benefit. Then we have reduction or redirection of resources in headcount. The new system may require less resources, so the delta between the resources for the new system and the old system, that's another benefit, and the increases in productivity because the new system is more efficient. The other portion of the tangible benefits is a cost avoidance. So we implement this project because the old system could not handle growth as efficiently as the new system. So we have to spend less money if we implement the new system going forward because the new system has the ability to handle growth more efficiently than the old system. Then there are intangible or soft benefits. The intangible or soft benefits includes stuff like better user experience, a better image for the company. The company would be known as a better technology leader and so on and so forth. The intangible benefits are usually just put in the business case and they are not quantified. And that's why they are called intangible. And they're usually feel-good paragraphs that are put in the business case for the senior management.
And then I would get a financial analysis, I would imagine, at the end of this.
At the end, there is a financial analysis. Depending on the enterprise, some enterprises want to do an NPV analysis, net present value. Some enterprises want to do a return on investment, ROI analysis. And some enterprises want to do a payback analysis, you know, how many years I will pay back the investment that I have to do to implement a project. And we have seen other places where all three numbers are required.
So you've provided a cost-benefit analysis, but then how does it stand up to scrutiny? How do you ensure that this cost-benefit analysis is not only accurate now, but is also a document that is flexible enough to change as this implementation is underway?
To ensure that the business case stands up to scrutiny, we have to make sure that we have adequate documentation of the source of the data that we use. For example, if the data came from enterprises' budgetary numbers, we need to mention that, and we need to mention, you know, the ledger account numbers, where the data comes from, the time of the data. Was it on the 2005 financial numbers or 2006 financial numbers, or so on and so forth? It's very important to do that. If data has come from the business unit themselves, we need to mention that, and we need to mention who gave us the data. This way the business unit can go internally and check that indeed the data is valid. This is also very important when we do the current state analysis, because the current state analysis is the basis for the do-nothing option that should always be present in a business case, that if we do not go forward with the project, what to do. And to have very thorough current state analysis, we need to gather data from the business unit and we need to document that. Now, there are situations where that happens when the business doesn't have a data. For example, a metric about move, adds, and changes, and the business does not have the discipline of gathering those metrics on a continuous basis, so there is some inadequacies in the data that exist. There are techniques that we have used successfully before that Bearing Point has used that can address those kind of situations. One of the techniques is to extrapolate the data. So we have good data for a couple of the years, but we're missing the data for the more near terms. We can extrapolate from the old data to the new data. The other one we can use are experience and other similar clients. So, for example, if a client is an insurance company, we have done this kind of work in another insurance company. They are roughly of the same size. We can say, you are in the same business, you are in the same environment, therefore we can use those data and substitute it for the inadequate data with the current client. Of course, all of these have to be done with the knowledge of the client, and the client has to review the numbers and has to acquiesce that the numbers used are within the realm of possibility for their operations. The last source is to use information such as provided by Gartner or Forrester, that they have done these benchmarking exercises before, and we can use their data too. But that's the last resort that we should use, because those numbers are controversial sometimes, and those numbers are the numbers that the stakeholders will find problems, because they would say that does not represent their business.
And part of developing the business case is also doing a project risk analysis. And part of that is what you call an assumption sensitivity analysis. Could you explain that to me, please?
Absolutely. As part of the risk analysis, sometimes the client requires a sensitivity analysis. Sometimes we do the sensitivity analysis just to test our assumptions. And the reason for that is sometimes the client doesn't know what the end state has to be. And they want various, you know, use cases whereby, for example, if this business unit participates, if this business unit does not participate, what is the impact on the business case? Or if we have smaller growth than what was anticipated, if we have faster growth than what was anticipated, what is the impact of the business case? And this we included in the sensitivity analysis, where we change the growth numbers, where we include or exclude business units, where we change technology, and we see what's the impact on the business case. And if the business case is solid, usually they can survive changes in assumptions. And if the business case is marginal, some of these changes in assumptions will cause the business case to go negative, and then the client knows that if the business climate changes, then this project is not worth doing.
So when developing a business case, how do I know how many alternatives to consider? How can I narrow down the seemingly endless possibilities into a tangible number?
So to do that, there are two guidelines. One guideline is usually a business case is done after a request for proposal or a request for quote, an RFP or an RFQ, has been published and the response has been received from the vendors. And when we look at the response of the vendors, and usually some of the vendors have completely missed the mark, so those alternatives can be easily discarded by saying, you know, these vendors did not adequately respond to the RFP, or their price points or whatever the key performance metrics was for analyzing the RFP did not meet the client's requirements. Then we have a series of alternatives whereby we need to use these alternatives. Usually three or four alternatives need to be discussed in the business case, whereby these are very competitive alternatives, and it's just a matter of we have to compare them, and we compare their ROIs, their NPVs, or their payback periods, and depending on the client, we use one of those numbers to choose one solution over the other solution.
And you always include the alternative of doing nothing.
And always the alternative of doing nothing is present because that's the baseline.
Well, there's a lot of complexity to this, and of course we've just touched on it here, but I appreciate you taking some time and speaking with us today, Dariush.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Dariush Bebudi is Managing Director, Infrastructure Solutions at Bearing Point.